Chapter 6. The Thought Shape Group. Father would never hide an abnormality, even in his own family. I knew I must be very careful. He must never, never learn about the Thought Shape Group and our telepathic powers. Our secret was safe with Rosalind, but I wasn't happy. "Rosalind," I said worriedly, "our friends don't know we're different from other people. They think everybody talks in thought shapes. They might tell people outside the group about our conversations." "You're right," she replied. "We must alert them now." I spoke to the group, and I was surprised by their response. They weren't happy to know we were different, but it was not a complete surprise to any of them. "I didn't know it was dangerous to talk in thought shapes," Anne said. "But I've always known instinctively our conversations should be a secret." The others, Anne's sister, Rachel, Catherine, Sally, Michael and Mark, all felt the same. We all understood the dangers. Nobody would reveal our secret, and I thought we were safe. For 6 years we kept our secret, but it wasn't easy. We often spoke and told each other pieces of news, although we were always very careful. We couldn't mention things we heard in our conversations when we spoke to people outside the group. We avoided questions like, "Who told you that?" or "Where did you hear about that?" The situation became more difficult when Michael's parents sent him to a school outside Wacknook. In our conversations, Michael taught us lots of interesting things he learned at his new school. Things children in Wacknook weren't expected to know. We hid our new knowledge carefully. But when my little sister Petra was 6 years old, we made a frightening discovery. There were 9 in the Thought Shape group, not 8, and the newest member couldn't keep our secret. Petra was an intelligent, funny little girl. I loved her very much, but until the day of the accident, I didn't suspect she had telepathic powers too. I was working in the cornfield when I received an urgent thought shape calling for help. It was so strong, it was physically painful. "I must go and rescue somebody immediately," I thought. I ran as fast as I could across the fields and over the footbridge to a deep pool in the stream. I found Petra in the water and jumped in to rescue her. At that moment, Rosalind appeared in the opposite direction. As she came near, she shouted, "Who needs help? Who sent us these messages?" "Petra," I said. "She's telepathic too." I climbed out of the water with Petra in my arms. She wasn't hurt, but she was agitated by her terrible experience. Petra fell asleep against my shoulder. Rosalind walked with us towards the house, and we talked quietly. "What should we do?" asked Rosalind. "I don't know," I replied. "She's too young to understand the dangers. She's one of us. But our secret isn't safe with her." "She's one of us, but she's different from us," Rosalind said. "Her message was stronger and clearer than ours. We understood we should come and rescue her, and she directed us to the place." When we reached the cornfield, one of the farm workers saw us. "How did you know Petra was in danger?" he asked. "I heard her shouts," I replied. "I didn't hear anything," he said suspiciously. Rosalind always thought quickly. "Then you must be deaf," she said. "You could hear her for miles." Rosalind didn't come into my house. She lived on the neighbouring farm, but our fathers hated each other. They had endless arguments about the farms. "Goodbye, Petra," she said, and she hugged my sister. Then she turned to me and said, "We must find a solution to this problem. We were still thinking about it when a new danger appeared. I'm going to marry Alan Irvin, Anne announced one day. We were all horrified. You can't marry him, we said. It's too dangerous. You won't be able to hide your telepathic powers from your husband. Anne refused to listen. You don't understand, she said. We can't all marry people in our group. Some of us will have to marry outside the group or not marry at all. There was nothing we could say to convince her. Anne was 19 and in love. She married Alan, and we didn't hear from her again. For 6 months, we sent messages, but she didn't reply. She's trying to be normal, her sister Rachel explained. She doesn't want to be different anymore. When I told Uncle Axel about Anne, he was very worried. You're all in danger, he said. Women in love tell their husbands everything. What can we do? I asked him, very worried. Wait patiently, was his reply. We'll think of something. He didn't say anything more, but soon after that, Alan was found murdered in the forest. A few days after his death, Anne killed herself.